Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
You know, one other quick announcement. And next Sunday, we're going to have Pastor Ken Boone with us from Pennsylvania. Some of us know him, and he's ministered over the years with us, and he'll be with us. He'll be with us next Sunday morning as well. So don't miss next Sunday. It'll be powerful. It'll be a great time in the Lord. He may even be here Sunday night. We're trying to work out some details right now. But that's going to be it'll be a great meeting. He's a great minister of the Lord and a dear friend of ours. It's going to be a powerful Sunday next Sunday. Pastor Manny, you ready? Okay, let's do it. Let's roll. Amen. Woo! Amen.
You guys are funny. Praise the Lord. How is everyone this morning? Good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm so thankful to come in and be able to worship with you guys. It's so much fun to just be in God's presence and to worship Him every week. And of course, you know, we're here more than just once a week, but, it's so good to just know that we can get in God's presence and just everything else just melts away. And it's a focus time on Him and making Him big in our lives. That's what the word magnify means. We magnify the Lord. We make Him big and everything else gets small, right? And so whenever we focus on Him, then everything else takes its proper perspective, which is small, minute. And His glory comes in and changes us and changes our lives and changes our perspective. Praise God. That has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on this morning. All right. This morning, if you'll turn with me to Matthew, we had begun a discipleship theme. We had gotten into invite as well as disciple. Who are you discipling? Who are you inviting? And who are you discipling? And if we have extra of these cards, if the ushers, are there any ushers left? Okay, I know some of them, I don't have them. Can you get them off of the Connect booth? I know we have some in here that probably do not have one of these. So if you can grab those, and if you do not have one of these cards, then just raise your hand and they will get you one of these. This has to do with our vision this year of doubling. We are doubling this house. We're doubling the number of people that are being reached and their families are being transformed. Their families are turning around. We're doubling our teams, just as Brother Don said, and doubling our extension this year. So make sure you grab one of these because it has everything to do with what we're preaching on this morning. And of course, Pastor Brad had started the theme, who are you inviting? Who are you bringing? And then now we're talking about who are you discipling? Who are you discipling? And so there are spaces on there for you to fill that out, to keep that as a focal point, because discipleship is intentional. So let's get into this morning. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, and let me go ahead and pray over the message this morning. Father, we are so grateful for this body of Christ, and we're so thankful that your presence is with us at all times, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and we're so thankful, Father, that you give us the power to be witnesses on this earth. Lord, that's what you call us to do. You've given us the ministry of reconciliation. I pray, Father, that same burden would come upon every heart in this place, that burden for discipleship, that burden for reconciling those that are lost and bringing them into the kingdom of God. Lord, that we stand in that gateway of bringing people to you and showing them who Christ is. Father, I pray that would be what rings in our heart. And Lord, that we have a love and a desire and a passion to do your will like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so Matthew 4:18. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now there's a key word here this morning, the word follow. The word follow. Because sometimes when we look at this word follow, we're not understanding the depth of it. We're not understanding in our culture what follow really means in comparison to what it meant in the Hebraic culture. And what Jesus was actually saying when he was saying, follow me. Now, those that have been taking how to study the Bible, we've been talking about this concept and digging into it. And so we've taken a couple passages, and man, I think we all were feeling some like heavy conviction in certain areas because we were looking at a couple passages that have to do with this, and we're like, oh, Lord, help me, you know, to give up everything that's needed in order to follow you. But it's this concept of follow. Let me explain to you what it means in their culture. When Jesus was saying, follow me, he wasn't just saying, hey, come on, follow me to the restaurant and we'll have lunch together. I'll show you where the restaurant is. Follow me over here and we'll do this. He wasn't saying that. He was saying this idea of follow comes from the original word, which means road or way. So he's saying to them, follow on this road, in this way. And the idea behind it is this. In the New Testament, this is the cultural background of it. In the New Testament, it is often used in the context of discipleship, where it signifies following Jesus both physically and spiritually. And so a lot of times we think physically, but we don't think maybe the spiritual side of it, or vice versa. But it implies a commitment, say commitment, to adhere to the teachings and lifestyle of Jesus, often involving sacrifice and a change of direction in life. Now, a lot of times we don't realize that whenever we're thinking of the word follow, a change of direction and life. Commitment to the teachings of Jesus. And it goes on and it says, in the first century Jewish context, following a rabbi or a teacher was a common practice. It was a normal thing. And it says disciples would leave their homes and occupations to learn from and emulate their teacher. It demanded total allegiance and often countercultural decisions. Countercultural decisions. Don't pay attention to that yet. Focus on what I'm saying. We'll get to that in a minute. Countercultural decisions. Because many times we're like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but are we making the decisions in life? Do we understand the concept that I am going to get in this knowing that it's causing a sacrifice and it's causing me to, I'm going to choose to make countercultural decisions. Things that may go against the culture. Things that may go against the grain. Things that may go against how I've been living. The whole idea of discipleship. See, Jesus wasn't just saying be a Christian in name and just accept the teachings, because we can all say yes and amen that sounds like a great thing. And many people do that. Yes and amen to the teachings. Yes and amen to that. But do they choose to live it? Do they choose, when they're looking in the mirror of the word, do they go away and do the word? Not just hear the word and be a hearer only, but a doer of the word. So this process of discipleship goes two ways. So I want you to look at it from two different perspectives this morning. Because every person is called to win people to Jesus and to disciple, but they're also called to be discipled. So either way, you can't get out of it. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't get out of this. So it should hit you, on both sides this morning. That I'm called to be a disciple, but I am called to make a disciple. I'm called to be a disciple, but I am called to make a disciple. And so if we have, you know, gotten complacent, I guess, in a sense of not allowing ourselves to see people as someone that either needs to be brought to Jesus or showing Jesus or growing in Jesus. See, it's not just about saying yes to Jesus and then there's no growth. Discipleship has everything to do with growth. And that's what he was saying. He wasn't saying, you know what, I've come to save the world and I've come to give you good news. Here's the good news. I'll see you later. I've got to go to the next town. He was saying, come and follow me. Meaning, come and follow my ways. Come and see what I do. Come and live my life with me so that it changes yours. In fact, turn to 2, I believe it's in 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. And Ryan, you can go ahead and put that slide up for me. You guys have all read it now. Discipleship. And Pastor Brad started going over this last week, discipleship. But I wanted you to see it. And it's on your cards. Because I wanted it to constantly be before you, to remind you of what discipleship was. But I underlined certain words that are very crucial and important to this concept of discipleship. And it says, discipleship is the intentional process that takes place within accountable relationships over a period of time for the purpose of bringing believers to spiritual maturity in Christ. That's got a lot of power punched words in there that really have to change our thinking to how we disciple others and the importance that we place on it. And understanding even that idea of the period of time. Jesus was saying, follow me. He wasn't saying, I've come to teach you in a weekend seminar. He's saying, follow me so that your life changes. See, weekend seminars, oftentimes, they're exciting, and it's like, yes, and there's so many good ideas, and that's awesome. And they're good because they kind of spark a fire under us again. But the thing is, we go away with maybe 5 or 10% of what we learned and actually implementing it. And that's why being in something consistently is so important. Changing our life, changing our environment. And that's what Jesus was saying to them. Come and change your life, change your environment, change your cultural mindset to live in a different way. And if you do, it's going to change your world and it's going to change the world of others. And so I want you to see this for a second, because not only were the disciples discipled by Jesus, but they carried on that concept of discipleship. It should be part of our normal language. It should be something that we regularly do. But the thing is, and who was it that said not too long ago in here, that independence, did you say that? Independence is one of the greatest things that's happened to our nation, but it's also one of the worst things that's happened to our nation, because we get so independent-minded that we don't want to submit or yield to anything. So it's this thing that we have to keep in balance in our lives and understand it in the right perspective. God wants us to be a free people, but he also wants that freedom to be used for the right things. And if we just think that we can just do whatever and make whatever decisions we want to, according to the way we want to do them and our thinking and not in the basis of Christ and his teachings, then we can get off course. And if we have no one to train us, if we have no one that we're learning under, then that can very easily happen. And so understanding that concept of discipleship and actually inviting it into your life can be something that's such a precious thing to leapfrog you into a position of maturity so much faster than you doing it on your own. And so I want to take this verse here, and I want you to look at it for a second. 2 Timothy 3:10. This is Paul writing to his disciple Timothy. And he says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, or my doctrine, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured." And I'll stop there. But he says this because how would Timothy know all of these things unless he had been with Paul for a while? That idea of the period of time, that it takes time to be discipled. It's not an overnight thing. And Paul was saying here, "Timothy, you've been with me. You've seen my teachings. You've seen the doctrine. You've heard it. You've adopted it. You've taken it in. Your life has been changed because of it." And Timothy, not only that, but you know my way of life. What does that speak to? A lifestyle. His patterns. His routines. What has made Paul be successful and do the mission that God carried him to do? Timothy was seeing that in action. Not just in theory. He didn't just read the writings of Paul, but he actually went on a journey with Paul. He went along with Paul. He saw the sufferings. He saw the hardships. He saw all the difficulties that Paul faced. And so he sees the lifestyle, this period of time of following. And it goes on to say, my way of life, my purpose, which speaks of vision. It speaks of an aim, where I'm going, what my purpose is. See, many of you in this church, some of you came here because you saw vision. It was one of the things that we learned a lot from Dr. Morocco, being discipled under him. And as a result, then we grab a hold of a vision and we're like, okay, that's part of the reason of why we wanted to place ourselves with Kings is because Kings had a vision. Kings wasn't just this church that was just going to, well, we're all happy right here just serving, you know, 750 or 1,000 people on the island and we're just happy. No, instead, there's 750 churches that are getting ready to be planted. There's about 700 now, and it's continuing to rise. The vision right now is 1,200 extensions by the end of this year. That is vision. Well, Dr. placed that vision before his people. We saw vision when we first came in, which was 10 years ago, and it was only 120. A tenth of that. Is that not amazing in a 10-year span? 120 to 1,200. That's vision. That's someone that's setting a challenge before us and saying, let's go. Come on, team, let's go. It's not just content to say, oh, you're doing good, and I'm doing good, and you're doing good, and, you know, we'll just compare ourselves one to another. We all look good together, so, you know, you do this. No, it puts us in a bigger pool of fish, and we realize how small we are and how much more we can do. Doctor is 70-some years old, just relocated to what? To see the vision expanded on the mainland even more. He's creating more extensions in Dallas. What does that do to us? It spurs us on. It pushes us to vision. And so Timothy sees this in Paul. He sees, and it even says, my love. You see my faith in action. You see my endurance in action. You see my patience in action. You see my love in action. How do you see love? When you have to love the unlovable? When you have to love beyond the fact that maybe someone's not loving you back or someone's being unlovable or being difficult and you love them anyway? Timothy sees that in action. Why? Because he's living with Paul. He's living life. He's experiencing life with Paul. Just as we experience life with one another, with people, with power, and with purpose. So Timothy is an amazing example. Paul is an amazing example of discipleship. And so Jesus, when he says, follow me, he's not just saying, you know, follow me for the day. He's saying, follow me for life. Follow me for life. But that means that there's going to be an expectation that as you follow me, there's a life change. There's a commitment. There's a leaving behind. See, that's what it pointed to, a leaving behind occupations and family and other things that were going on that they were willing to leave behind in order to follow Jesus. See, there's a story in Luke, and that's one of the things we've studied in class. Amen, class? That one was a tough one, yeah? It was three separate men that Jesus approached and said, follow me, and they all made excuses in Luke chapter 9. I've got this to do. I got to bury my father. I got to do this. I got to do that. Three different times. Follow me. Well, let me go do this first. Follow me. Well, I don't have the security of a place to lay my head and, you know, all of these things that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Follow me. And people walked away and walked away and walked away. But it says in this passage that these men, they did what? They immediately dropped their nets and followed Jesus. So who does the Bible talk about? Who gets mentioned through history? The disciples that followed Jesus and dropped everything and left it to follow Jesus in the teachings of Jesus, right? That's who we want to be, that we're willing to drop whatever needs to be dropped in order to follow Jesus and his teachings. Can you throw that slide back up, please, Ryan? So if we're talking about discipleship, it is intentional. It's an intentional process. Intentional means it's on purpose, right? If you intentionally do something, you're making it happen on purpose. It's deliberate. There's an aim to it. It's not just, well, you know, whatever happens, you know, if that person wants to be discipled, if I want to be discipled, if, you know, it'll just happen. No, it doesn't just happen. It's intentional. It's intentional. Now, you can't make someone be discipled that doesn't want to be. So if that's the case, you don't keep trying to disciple somebody. You're going to be a disciple. you don't do that. You know, that leads to rough relationships. But if someone is willing to be discipled, and I'm trying to give you the understanding and the importance today so that we melt away and we get rid of any pride in our life to understand that discipleship actually is a benefit to us. See, discipleship brings an actual freedom into our lives. It actually brings us to a place quicker and faster than trying to do it on our own. See, discipleship brings fruitfulness into our lives. Why? Because think about it this way. When Jesus would speak to the crowds, he would go through parables, he would go through teachings and stories and telling the people that were following him all of these things. But then what happened? The disciples would say, Jesus, tell me about that parable. What did that mean? And he would turn and look at his disciples and he would say, this is what the parable of the sower means. Or this is what you're to do. How many times did he have private conversations and pull them aside? Or he would give them instruction and say, I'm going to send you out. But don't take a purse this time. Don't take a money bag. Don't take an extra tunic this time. Because he was trying to teach them something. But then before he went to heaven and ascended to heaven, he was saying, now take a sword. Now take an extra tunic. And now take a money bag. And so the instruction for each time was different, but he was teaching them. They had a private audience with him. There was more given through discipleship, intentional discipleship, than there was to the crowd. See, discipleship brings us to another level of fruitfulness. That's why the disciples were more fruitful, because they were behind the scenes with Jesus and willing to give it all up. They didn't just follow Jesus when he was in close proximity and say, well, it's convenient today, so I'll go listen to the man of God preach. It's convenient this morning, so I'll go and listen. He's in my town today, so I'll go and hear what he has to say. But instead, they dropped everything and went and followed Jesus. See, it takes a dropping of everything to say, I want this enough. I desire this enough. That I'm going to position myself. See, disciples position themselves. That means they position themselves to invest. They're going to invest in the ministry. They're going to invest in the vision. They're going to invest in what's going on and taking place to see that thing that Jesus is doing. Okay, we're here to help you, Jesus. We're going to get the word spread. He would send his disciples out to tell people that he was coming. Two by two. So they were investing in the vision, but then they would come back and say, Jesus, why didn't we see this happen? Why didn't we see this? What's going on here? What do we need to do differently? And Jesus would tell them. See, discipleship causes fruitfulness when we're willing to be discipled. It also provides protection. Because there are times, if we have someone that's discipling us, that they can give us a warning. They can give us an understanding of what's going on that maybe we're not seeing. See, there are times when we need extra prayer, we'll call Dr. Morocco. Or if we're hitting a wall with something, he'll say, okay, you guys need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. It's discipleship. Is it challenging at times? Absolutely. There are times it is challenging. Because you have to change something. You have to adjust something in your own life. But that's called accountability. Accountability. Accountable relationships. See, you cannot have discipleship without relationships. Discipleship happens through relationships. And see, a lot of people don't want the accountability because they don't want to make the changes. They don't want someone to say, hey, this is kind of holding you back in life, or this is the next step you need to take. Well, I don't want to do that. I just want to do what I want to do. But in actuality, that discipleship is there to better you. It's not for the other person. They receive a joy out of it because they get to see your transformation. And when you disciple someone else, you get to see that joy of seeing someone else's life transformed. It is the greatest joy. Wow, they were here and now they're here. 6 months ago they were here and now they're victorious in this. A year ago they were here and now they're beginning to lead. Praise God. People that never thought that they would even be leading anything are growing in the things of leadership. People that have been addicted to stuff, they've been homeless and they were living on the streets, and now they're discipling other people. Is that not amazing? They begin to get a hold of the teachings of Jesus. Why? Because someone taught them. Someone invested in them, and they were willing to count the cost and say, I'm all in. I'll do it. I'll do it. Accountable relationship. See, accountability, you know what it creates in our life? Predictability. How many would say that predictability, in the right context, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying like, you know, never taking risks in life and going out and doing things for God. That's not what I'm meaning. I'm meaning predictability, like in your character and in your walk with God. Like if next Sunday, Pastor Brad came in and said, guys, I have some really bad news. Pastor Miranda got busted. She was out late. She was drinking. She ended up stealing something. They caught her. She's in jail. And I gotta go get her out of jail after service. Huh? So then you got a divorce on your hands. Like how many would be surprised if they heard that? You better raise your hands. But the idea behind it is predictability, because of predictability in character. Like, if I just say, you know what, Pastor Brent, I'm not feeling it this morning. I'm just going to stay in bed. I don't want to go to church. You guys would be like, where's Pastor Miranda? Because that would be odd. That would be odd character coming from me. But predictability and account. See, I'm accountable to you guys. I'm accountable to the congregation. I'm accountable to King's Cathedral and chapels. I'm accountable to doctor. Accountable relationships. Transparency. Accountable relationships also bring transparency. Why are people so afraid of transparency? Goodness. Because of pride. For various reasons. But I'm telling you what, if you want true freedom, be transparent. I'm not saying everybody's got to know all your stuff. That's not what I'm meaning. But don't hide behind pride saying you got nothing going on and, you know, I'm fine. I don't need anybody. And like, why are you hiding stuff? You know, sometimes people don't want to be discipled because they think that the church looks like they don't got no problems. You know, sometimes if you say, you know what, I was going through this one time and the Lord's just really been speaking to me on this, and I've just really been working on this. If they see the fact that you're being discipled, you know, it puts them in a place that, you know what? I like that. I like the fact that we're all working together, growing together. It's different levels. It's different places. We're not all working on the same thing, but we are all working on something. We are all achieving a greater level of faith or a greater level of love or a greater level of patience and kindness and goodness and mercy and grace. Amen. And when we're open enough to be real with people and say, yeah, I need to work on that. You know, that's a bit of a challenge for me. Now it's more challenging for me than this. I feel like I do okay here, but here I got to work on this, and this one's the one that I got to keep trying at, keep pushing through. But it's okay for others to see that you're transparent. Because to be honest, nobody likes pride. It's ugly. Okay. We'll move on from that. That's for a different lesson. So that's another day. But accountable promotes communication, open communication. Meaning we can be open with each other. We can talk about the things that are going on in our lives. And it doesn't mean that everybody in your church needs to be discipled by you or with you. It just means that you have a relationship in your life that you can do that with and be open with. It's not about being open with everybody, but it's about having a place of openness where you're willing to not only be honest with yourself, but with someone else. See, some people won't even be honest with themselves. And if that's the case, then we can't ever change. We won't ever be in a place of change. So we have to be willing to be open and honest, accountable with others. See, the goal of accountability is growth and development. That's the whole purpose of it. Growth and development. And with relationships, accountable relationships, connecting people with others. It's so important that you are not the only person that someone is connected with. Connect them with others in the house. Connect them with leaders. Connect them with life group leaders. Connect them with somebody that's great at discipling. Connect them with somebody that's gone through the same things before and they've overcome. The more connections that a person has in the body of Christ, the greater level of them being victorious it is. Because they're going to be able to draw from various sources and various people. See, we haven't all walked the same road. We haven't all dealt with the same things. And some people can give a different level of counsel or wisdom than maybe someone else could. Or someone can maybe provide those words that are needed. But they need to be surrounded by people. So accountable relationships. When you invite someone to church, invite them to greet or meet other people. plug them in with a variety of people. Find someone that you think, man, their story is a lot like this person that overcame. I want you to come and meet this person. All right. Accountable relationships over a period of time for the purpose of bringing believers to spiritual maturity. Now, obviously, it's believers because the goal of discipleship is to become like Christ, right? Well, a non-believer, that's not their goal. So if you're trying to disciple somebody that's a non-believer, their goal is not to become Christ-like. They need to get saved. That's evangelism, telling them about Christ so that they begin to walk in the things of Christ. But taking believers, once they're a believer, we want to walk in maturity, in spiritual maturity. How many of you like to fish? Do you guys ever catch fish and then just toss them off on the bank and say, well, caught five today, and just throw them off to the side? No. They would rot. They would stink, right? Well, that's kind of what happens sometimes if we don't disciple or if we just catch the fish and toss them off to the side. See, we take them home and we do what? We clean them, right? That's why he's saying, I will make you fishers of men. It's not, we're missing an element when we just do the catching, but we don't do the cleaning. Now, we understand that it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, but we are there along in the process of helping lead them along the way, helping them in places that maybe we've learned. And sometimes you have to just be willing to meet them where they're at. When Jesus met Peter, you know what he did? He met him where he was at. He's like, Peter, can I use your boat? Because I need to preach for a moment. And he uses his boat, and then he does what? He says, Peter, cast your net out here. He's like, man, I've done this all night, and I haven't caught a thing, but I'll do it because you say so, Lord. And he throws out, and what does Jesus do? He gives him the biggest catch ever. He meets Peter where he's at. He doesn't come up to Peter and say, you know, Peter, I saw this great pottery place over here, and try to talk to him about something that doesn't apply to him. He speaks to him about his business and about his fishing and about what's going on right here with Peter, with the Samaritan woman at the well. He's like, I know of a living water. I know you're here for this water, but I know a better water than this. See, sometimes people, you have to meet them where they're at. If they want a friend at the moment, you got to be the friend. If they need prayer at the moment, you got to be the one to pray with them. If they're in motherhood right now and you have kids, then get together and say, hey, you know, let's take our kids to the park. And then it provides opportunity for you to begin to talk with them. Meet them where they're at. Don't just show up and say, you know, I'm here to be your disciple maker. I'm here to teach you. No. You help them along the way. What is spiritual maturity? It's being able to stay the course. To stay the course. That even when you go through difficult times, you know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. You know how to strengthen yourself. You know how to stand. And you're not going to be deceived by the things of the enemy and the distractions and allow them to pull you out. So you're growing them through those processes. As they hit moments, maybe they get hurt. And you're there to do what? Coach them through that. Oh, don't let that pull you out. I went through a hurt once, twice, three times. I went through a hurt one time, and man, I had to forgive. But you know what? That relationship is better today. Or I had to do this, and you know what? I learned from it. Or you know what, if I would have allowed that to take me out, I could be completely out of church today. We're explaining, like, it's even worse to have a, you know, to get hard-hearted and to sit in church and be there presently, but your heart's not in it because you get cynical. See, people don't have that person alongside them to tell them and explain things to them. If they don't have that, then a lot of times they get lost. They kind of just flop back into the water. So we have to be willing to make disciples and to be discipled. Amen. We have to be willing to make the call. We have to be willing to care. We have to be willing to commit. We have to be willing to text him and say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? How can I pray with you? Do you want to go to coffee? Let's meet this week. I'm going to call you and see if there's anything I can pray with you. Be with them through their difficult times. Be with them through their celebrations. Be with them in their moments. See, I mean, you guys see how many people are in here today. There's no way that Pastor and I can keep up with everybody's life celebrations and things going on in life. We can be there as much as possible. But if we grow, well, not if we. We know we're going to grow. But when we grow, there's got to be discipleship happening within the body. So part of inviting is discipling, connecting them to other people. Minister, can you go ahead and come to the keyboard, please? Is there a time that you ever quit being discipled yourself? No, because we always have more to learn, right? You know, even I was thinking about that. Even Dr. Morocco, he has friendships around him. Even as much as he knows and as such a man of God, but he surrounds himself with people of his own caliber, and they call each other when they need prayer. They call each other when they need some counsel or some understanding around something. We never quit. So we always have to remain in a place of humbleness, in a place of being willing to receive, being willing to be discipled. And we don't ever stop. And even individually, if you're discipling someone, you got to be willing to see past their current state. Because what are you looking at? You're looking at what God wants to do in them and through them. And you're helping them through that process. Oh, I see greatness in you. I see how God wants to use you. See, that's one of the reasons I love Kings so much. Because Kings is not a one-man show. Kings is very much about people serving the Lord. And it gives every person a place to serve and to learn. And part of that process, if you're running a team, a life group, a ministry team, part of that process is discipling those on your team. And so even in that process of discipling, of teaching, you're building relationships with those people. You're helping them in the walk of life. Because if they go missing and they don't show up, well, who's going to know? The team leader. So that team leader needs to make a call, right? Check on them. Are you okay? What's going on? And that's why it's so important that we're willing to be in that place, because it provides a protection. It provides accountability. And we have to be willing to do that, to look past ourselves and to look past the current state of that person and say, I see them doing greater, and I want to pull that out of them. I want to pull them into a place that they're seeing it for themselves. They're seeing the goodness of God. They're seeing what God wants to do through them. Even if somebody messes up, you don't give up. You don't give up. You continue to pray. And you continue to call them. And you continue to show love. And you continue to disciple them. We never come into it all perfected. So we have to be gracious. You know, there was a... You can go ahead and stand to your feet. We're going to wrap up. There was a situation one time somebody had just gotten saved, and they'd only been saved, you know, for a couple months or whatever. And I remember one time Pastor Brad was discipling this guy, and he's like, oh, they seem to have taken a couple steps backwards, and da da da, and they're doing this and going through that, and da da da. And I said, Brad, I said, just remember that 2 months ago, they were ready to kill their father-in-law. Had it planned out. So I think where they're at right now is a couple steps better than that. So sometimes we have to remember where they came from and the grace that God had with us in our lives, because we weren't so perfect about changing everything either. So when we show grace and we show love, then they're also learning how to do that with others. And we're saying, don't let that hold you back. Nope, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep going for the things of God together. And you're leading them right into it with you. Showing them how to be strong. Showing them how to have courage. Showing them how to have faith. Just like Paul said, I'm going to show you how to love. I'm going to show you how to endure. I'm going to show you how to have patience. I'm going to show you how to lead. I'm going to show you how to continue until you are standing on your own. And you are able to do this and encourage yourself and strengthen yourself. And that's what we do as a body. We don't just invite, but we also disciple. Amen.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.